With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And that is that, my friends. We have officially had our last ever SmackDown from the Thunderdome. And while we probably could have celebrated it a little bit, we also learned in the last 24 hours that Bayley has been injured and is going to be out 9 months. I'm sorry, the only two words you can say about that is that it sucks. So, of course, we send positive, healthy thoughts to her and hope that she can get back sooner rather than later. But we also have to find out, well, did SmackDown sign off from the Thunderdome in a good way? Or did it drop the bag? And I don't even know what that means. But I suppose the bag has love in it, which means you want to carry it over your shoulder so you feel joy in your tum-tum. Let's up those downs for SmackDown. Jimmy Uso was still trying to win over Roman Reigns at the start of this week's SmackDown. I mean, he was hanging outside of his locker room like some kind of weird fan at a concert. Looked like he was just going to walk in when Paul Heyman said, no, no, you're not allowed, because Roman was preparing to go to the ring. Which means every time Reigns does intend to do this, nobody is allowed to see him. And that just means that Roman Reigns is really, really weird. Heyman promised that they would sort this out later, but when Jim Bob did leave, Heyman smiled like he was some kind of Disney villain. And I do think we're going to need to have some kind of explanation or some kind of payoff about why Jimmy went from nobody's bitch to Roman's bitch. But as always, people play their roles in this storyline so well, you can kind of just go along with it. We then had the intro, and afterwards Roman had magically transported himself to the entrance curtain, which means he was going to head to the ring, the manipulation master. He was also not very happy, mostly because he's never very happy, but let's not talk about that. But for you see, he didn't appreciate the fact that last week Edge had called him a big old scaredy cat, because Roman isn't a big old scaredy cat, and in fact, if Edge wants to go get some evidence about that, he can go and talk to people like Brock Lesnar. Now, WWE has got to be teasing something here, because one, we had this, and two, over the last few days, Paul Heyman changed all his social media profile pictures to Brock as Lesnar. So they're probably just trying to wind us up, but it worked. The Tribal Chief then moved on to family business, so he wanted Jimmy Uso out here. So, of course, Jim came out because he's basically at Roman's pet. And he was like, look, I was away last week and you went after the rated R superstar. And I don't believe I asked you to do that, so you shouldn't have done it. So we learn more about Roman every single week. Not a fan of initiative. This did indeed lead to the return of Jey Uso, because as it turns out, last week when Reigns wasn't on the show, he was talking to his cousin going, man, you got to come back. Although I bet he didn't say it like that. And yeah, now they're all on the flubbing same page. Because the big dog wants the Usos to become the tag team champions again so he can be the universal champion. Mostly because think about what a great Christmas card that would be to send out. You're all wearing there with your gold and smiling with a big Christmas tree behind you. You would just look like the definition of success. They then started to hug and I was a bit like, oh man, this is going in a really weird direction. But the camera zoomed in on Roman Reigns' face and he was basically showing around about 32,412 emotions. So you just know something's going to happen and you know that something is wrong in his head. So of course something will implode at some point. You can't carry this on forever. That kind of does tie into the end of the show, but up. Baron Corbin is also officially the best thing at the moment about SmackDown, and I mean it too. Up. I can only imagine that somebody backstage was like, oh man, we should turn Baron babyface, but I don't know how to do this because we presented him as such an unlikable knob for so long. And then somebody else screamed out, we could make him a sad panda. And this guy deserves some kind of award because what a genius decision. Because I just feel so sorry for him. He was being interviewed again. He was like, oh man, I've lost my house, I've lost my car, I've lost all my investments, but it doesn't matter because you're only one step away from turning your life around, which means I am going to fight Shinsuke Nakamura and I shall qualify for the Money in the Bank briefcase match. And when I do indeed have that contract, all of a sudden, I'll be back on top. But then when I had this match, and he lost. I mean, this was like Bambi's mother being shot all over again. And of course, Nakamura came out of Rick Boos and they were rocking together. And we had Big E on his sofa and he was joined by Pat McAfee. And I tell you, those two together was an absolute dream. At one point, I thought they were having a foot bath together. Now, they did make a lot of bald comments because, of course, Baron doesn't have any hair. And I was like, guys, can we keep that down? We can't help this. Sometimes it just happens. And while Baron Corbin did come this close to winning, eventually he got hit with a series of shots. Then he got finished off by the Kinshasa. That was it. Nakamura pinned him. He's going to the ladder match. And what the hell is Baron going to do now? So I have no idea what is round the corner, but I am loving it for all the wrong reasons. In the sense, it makes my emotions go all glum in the tum. But that is terrific. When he does get his big break or he does get back on the tracks, I am going to stand there and applaud. Also, it just feels different. And I tell you, when WWE gives me something different, I will applaud you until the cows come home. The Usos then properly made up backstage because brothers don't fight, which is actually something that Vincent Kennedy McMahon said once. If you know, you know. If you don't know, don't even worry about it. They were discussing talking about Edge before Roman Reigns does, and I just wanted to facepalm and go, do you guys not Roman is not going to appreciate that. Just go sit in the corner and wait until he calls you. I then was completely taken aback and I was completely surprised because I didn't see this coming. Because out came Natalya and Tamina and somebody told me that there's nobody meaner. And they were like, look, we are the tag team champions. We are really great. But we've been told that we're fighting mystery opponents. So straight away, you assume it's Evolution, because as Lemmy told us, Evolution is a mystery. It wasn't Randy Orton and Batista, though. And instead, it was NXT's Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox. Or the name Demon has been here and stole them off their names, so now they're just Nox and Shotzi, because I don't know why WWE needs to do this. So straight away I was like, oh man, this is cool, but then I got terrified, because I'm like, oh man, all the commentators are going to be like, well, we don't know who this is. Who are these crazy people? But they didn't. They referenced that they've been down in NXT. Pat McAfee especially kept saying, Pat McAfee, whatever you call him, was all like, oh man, they're great, they're so good, they're going to do so well in the main roster. I was like, oh man, finally. And then if you can believe it, these two flipping won. So that's right, we had two new faces that needed a victory to establish themselves, and then these two new faces got a victory to establish themselves against the flubbing tag team champions. I'm sorry, coming to my house is getting up. More time would have been appreciated, as I think this only clocked in at just over 3 minutes, but don't even worry about that, because one, Nox and Shotzi, yeah, that's right, they worked well as a team. They handled every single thing that Tamina, Nobody Mina, and Natalya threw at them, and then Shotzi hit the ball pit and pinned them. And I think I almost died. I was so shocked. The debutantes also came out in Shotzi's tank, and you just know that's going to get over mad with fans. I mean, we saw it happen before the pandemic. And it is a little bit baffling that we didn't wait a week and do this in front of real people, but I ain't going to get bogged down in that stuff. I have real life problems to worry about, like the tax man. You never know when he's coming. Once again, though, this felt new, and it felt like freshness in my face, which is the order of the day. I'm very positive about the future. Interview with Edge next, and he says he's going to call out Roman Reigns later, but he's pondering whether Roman will answer his challenge without the Usos. And I just wanted to pop in the screen and go, no, Adam, no, he won't do this. If you've been watching SmackDown for around about 37 years, he will always try and screw you over. We then did get our on-screen announcement courtesy of Sonya Deville that Bayley has indeed been injured and she's going to be out for about 9 months, and it just absolutely sucks. So once more, just sending all the positive health to her, and hopefully when she has had surgery or whatever she needs, she can at least be on Ding Dong Hello, because she is a great character. But nobody wants this, especially when we were just 7 days away from having real shows again. Bayley also cut a promo here and said that it was our fault, the fans, that she had got injured, and she is 100% right. We are just no good scum and we don't know what we're doing. When Sonya Deville also said, well, I guess I'm going to have to announce a brand new person to take on Bianca Belair for the SmackDown Women's Champion, and it's Carmella. She loves doing that, doesn't she? She just says, Carmella can do this and Carmella can do this, all because she's the most beautiful person in WWE. Someone that agreed that all this was nonsense, though, was Liv Morgan. And she came out here, and my word, she was like a conduit for us. Because she was like, Sonya Deville, you are an absolute moron. You can't keep doing this. It makes no sense, and it's starting to piss me off. I was like, oh, Liv, you keep talking. Sonya then fired back and said, well, it's not a joke, but this is two fish in a tank, and one says to the other, can you drive this? That bit didn't happen. It did get a little bit bizarre, because Morgan and Sonya got so wound up, Deville just went, you know what, you couldn't be in the Money in the Bank match. But then I was like, wait a minute, if Liv Morgan does indeed win the Money in the Bank briefcase, and she gets put into that role, that's a terrific push. It kind of ties into all this madness that we have been seeing. So the fact that WWE has stuck with this, and not just thrown it into the trash can like they usually do, well, it's won me over. Bianca then walked out to end all of this and said that she didn't believe that Bayley was really injured, and that she's going to snap Carmella in two. And I thought, given that we had to pivot in order to make this segment work, that we did a very good job. And it's absolutely led me to believe that Liv Morgan should be Miss Money in the Bank. This now means somebody else will become Miss Money in the Bank. But as of now, I don't know that, so up. Paul Heyman then looked Roman Reigns in the face and said, Roman, I have some very bad news for you. Not only is Edge going to call you out later, but he has also questioned your manhood. So that is a real thing. That is a real thing that happened on SmackDown. And why did Heyman deliver the news in this way? Like, he thought that Edge was going to go out to the ring and reveal a picture of, like, Roman Reigns' man parts. Gone, see, look, there's no manhood here. Now, I know they were talking figuratively, but the way they were acting was like it was literal. And also, I'm a giant idiot. Huge surprise after this too, because we got a video for another person that's going to debut. And yes, they're coming from NXT. And it's Tony Storm. And if you weren't really quiet, you could hear this in the background. It was Triple H crying because he had to burn up his plans. Here is the thing though, it's been quite clear for a while that SmackDown needed a new injection of female talent. And now with Bayley out the door, you have to do something. So this was absolutely the right move to make. Do not drop the ball, WWE. Cesaro and Seth Rollins then had a Money in the Bank qualifying match. And when Cesaro and Seth Rollins have any kind of match, Simon Miller gives things an up. Just how it goes. Up. They got loads of time as well. And of course, because Big E had been the guest commentator in the other Money in the Bank qualifying match, here we had Kevin Owens, because WWE can't leave good alone. And also next week, we're going to take these four people and let them have a match. And usually I get mad about that because I'm like, don't do it days before the pay-per-view. But once more, we are going to have real people back in a building and you know they're going to love it. Almost instantly, Cesaro caught Seth Rollins out of midair and gave him a backbreaker and then finished off with a crossbody. And this annoyed Rollins so much, he just rolled outside of the ring and he started walking back and forth going, because he does mumble to himself a lot. He got his own back by throwing the Swiss Superman into the stairs. And then these two dudes went bonkers because they were fighting on the top rope. Seth Rollins hit his Superplex Falcon Arrow combination, but before he could finish it off, Cesaro reversed it into a suplex of his own, and they both went tumbling over the top rope. Now, apparently, neither of these guys broke any bones, so I don't understand science anymore. Rollins was in such a panic when they did get back into the ring that he tried to grab onto the turnbuckle to stop being pinned, meaning he ripped off the pad. And this got a little bit dumb because Cesaro had a pinfall then and the referee just stared at the turnbuckle because he couldn't believe what happened. I was like, are you an official or are you not an official? Start officiating. You just knew at that point though that the steel was going to come into play, and it did when Seth Rollins took Cesaro and he smacked his head right onto it, which of course meant he started to bleed. Seth was still panicked about all of this, so he thought, well, I'll tell you what, he is now bleeding. Maybe I can force a count out. And I was like, please do not have a count out. I can't handle it. But that's not what happened at all. Even though he tried around about three times, Cesaro was bleeding so much that he got all woozy-goozy, which allowed Seth to hit the curb stomp, and he beat Cesaro. Now, don't get me wrong, a small part of my heart died, so I kind of feel like Cesaro's big push is over. But a clean finish on a WWE show? You ain't getting no argument from me. So Seth Rollins is now heading to Money in the Bank. But we've got one last thing to talk about with him. Give me a few minutes. I then have no idea what happened to the Usos, but they kind of turned into a comedy act. Because they were storming down the corridors and they were going to barge into Edge's locker room. But Jimmy instead went to knock. And Jay was like, what? We don't knock on the door. We wait outside. And when he does come out here, that's when we beat him up. This was honestly like watching Looney Tunes. We then cut to a commercial. And when we did return, they decided actually screw it. And they went into his locker room. And nobody was there. So I have no idea what this was. We then massively tease what is surely going to be a SummerSlam match. Because Seth Rollins was doing a promo with Kayla Braxton, just being like, oh, I'm the best, no one's better than me, look at my awesome beard. When Edge interrupted him, and one of the first things he said to Seth was, oh, hello, Mr. Rollins, don't think I've forgotten. And of course, he's referencing that time when Seth Rollins tried to kill him when he still had his broken neck. He also pushed Seth's buttons by saying, oh, well, you just wanted a title shot, but you didn't get one, whereas I did go out and claim it. So you just know that these two are going to clash at Money in the Bank, and then we build to the hottest event of the summer. And I tell you, Edge versus Seth Rollins is genuinely a match I wanted to see for around about 4 years. I am happy that I waited. Also, I need to give a shout out to Seth Rollins, because when Edge marched up to him, he was like, oh man, I could hear some whininess in the background, so I had to come see what it was. And without missing a beat, Rollins just went, Kayla, in reference to Kayla Braxton. This, no joke, was the best thing on the show. Quick promo with Otis and Chad Gable too. They are gonna go and beat everybody because they're the best tag team ever. And as always, now that Otis has been shorn, you'd actually believe that this was his brother. But I tell you this, I like this tag team, and I'm gonna keep everything crossed that the fans go nuts for them next week and we actually do something with them. Which brought us to our main event segment, which was Edge going to the ring to call out Roman Reigns. And I was a little bit disappointed, because what I hoping he was going to do was get in the ring and just go, Roman Reigns, and shout out his name. As I said earlier, I'm a literal moron, but up. The family was watching all this from backstage at the most bizarre angle you've ever seen in your life. Honestly, they were like this, so their necks are going to be absolutely awful when they wake up in the morning. And kind of surprisingly, Roman looked at Paul Heyman, and he looked at the Usos and said, look, I am going to handle this by myself. You stay here. And I was like, well, that's very different for our tribal chief. I wonder what he has planned. Jimmy and Jay then decided to ignore all of this because they thought that Roman was in trouble. And I wanted to get a megaphone, just go like, what are you doing? Have you learned nothing over the last 6 months? And then surprise, surprise, guess what did happen when they caught up to their cousin? He turned around like, man, you two are dumb. He did demand that they stayed on the outside of the ring. And when he got into the squared circle, him and Edge just started throwing bones when all of a sudden, the Mysterios returned. They jumped Jimmy and Jay as everybody started to brawl, but honestly, this was really fun because there was just so much fire. And of course, Edge eventually got a piece of that chair and he was just trying to lock that crossface onto everyone because he's obsessed with it. But when he focused on the Usos rather than Roman Reigns, you already know what Roman Reigns did. He legged it because he's a cowardly asshat. This is how the last ever SmackDown from the Thunderdome did go off air, and it did seem very apt. And honestly, I am so pumped and excited to see how all these wrestlers, well, are they going to get booed? Are they going to get cheered next week? So we say goodbye to SmackDown in the weird building. It was a pretty good creation by WWE, but I ain't going to miss it. Also, we do get to the end of another SmackDown, and as you can see, it's just a really good show. There wasn't even that much repetitiveness this week, so we really pulled it off. I'm very excited about Money in the Bank. Up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.